Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome, everyone. This is Bonnie Gressel, your host here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. I'm so excited to have Dr. Jeanette Freeman with us today, and I'm going to introduce her in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you how much I appreciate all of you from around the world listening to this show, and I want to give a special shout out to my friends in Norway today. I am so honored that this show expands over 50 countries and 6 continents, and I really want to make this show a valuable time for you because I know that time is our most precious asset. And, you know, I think being a holistic entrepreneur is really more about who you are than what you do for a living. I know that I say that all the time, but I truly do believe that. So perhaps that's you, and that's why you're here today listening to the show. So if this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. It's going to be another great show. Now, you can find the direct links to all of the directories and other networks that The Holistic Entrepreneur is found on at my main website, BonnieGressel.com. And I'll put that link on the show page for you. Once you go there, if you go to the Holistic Entrepreneur page, all of the other links are there for you. So you just have to click on the icon. Now join me in welcoming our guest for today, Dr. Jeanette Freeman. Dr. Jeanette Freeman has over 18 years' experience in personal and spiritual development. She's an ordained minister, and she's the author of a couple of books. One is The Second Envelope, which chronicles her international solo travels and a path of personal discovery for herself. And I love the title of her other book, Why Did This Happen to Me Again? Your Keys to Lasting Transformation. She's also co-authored, along with Dr. Wayne Dyer and Terry Cole Whitaker, on Wake Up and Live the Life That You Love, in spirit. Jeanette holds a master's degree in religious studies and is a doctorate of consciousness studies from the Emerson Institute. I am so excited to have Dr. Jeanette Freeman here with us today on The Holistic Entrepreneur. Join me in welcoming her. Well, welcome, Jeanette. I am so excited to have you here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to share your wisdom and your insights with all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. I'm so grateful to be here.
You know, I read a little bit about people in their bio, obviously, but there's always more to the story, right? So would you share with us, with all of our listeners, a little bit more about your journey and what brings you to the work that you do today?
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, in a nutshell, as a single mother and 3 kids and a struggle, one day I walked into a bookstore that changed my life and I found spiritual positive thinking books. And I just jumped into that. And over the next 10 years, I studied and got educated, and it became my passion, this work of spiritual transformation and transformation of the subconscious mind. And I began a work of entrepreneurship, of being a teacher, leading communities, being a writer, and being out there trying to help people find their own passion, live their own authentic lives, and live more free. So it's been my journey. I've been a teacher for 20 years, but before that, that was the real challenge, was being in a difficult place and needing my life to change, wanting it so badly, and then continuing this work over the last 20 years.
You know, life is too short. I say this all the time. Life is too short to not, you know, live the life you want, the life that you deserve. But there are so many people who are afraid to, you know, take that step, to leave that job, to whatever. I mean, if it's entrepreneurship, you know, it's like they get comfortable in their uncomfortableness.
Right. I feel like life has been uncomfortable a lot, but that's what's exciting to me. If it stays the same, that's and getting stuck like that is not the most exciting thing and not good for our growth.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the type of work that you do. Do you work mostly with individuals or groups, or, you know, if I was going to send you somebody as an example, to refer you somebody, what would that person be like?
I work mostly with people who are moving through transition, and mostly women, to tell you the truth, entrepreneurs or women that want to live more authentically with their own passion, maybe leave a job and start their own business, maybe follow this, their artistic craving. Something in them is calling them to a new level of life. And as we know, that's not easily done by yourself. You need support. So I work with individuals moving through transition and moving into something more authentic. I also work with groups. I teach metaphysics. I teach people that their thoughts create their reality, their unconscious belief systems are showing up. How do we change the inner game in order to change the outer game? So I work with groups, I work in ongoing classes, and I work with individuals as well.
Oh, there's so many juicy things that you said right there, because, you know, well, part of it is, you know, the whole, every thought is a prayer, I always say.
Right.
You know, you have to be careful what you wish for. And
right.
Most of the things we're wishing for, we don't even know we're wishing for them because they're in our subconscious mind. So let's talk a little bit more about that. I think that keeps a lot of people, entrepreneurs or not, I think it keeps a lot of people stuck.
It does. Yes, it does. And that's self-awareness, you know, self-awareness, finding out what it is that we're believing. But mostly, without it being too complicated, it's like, what am I eating every day, right? Like in our physical body, what am I eating every day? Am I mostly eating healthy? Then I'm going to mostly have a healthy body. And what am I taking in my mental world, in my spiritual world? What am I doing every single day? So if I'm taking some quiet time for meditation, quiet internal time every day, even a little bit, and I'm listening to inspirational talks or books or hanging around inspirational people, you know, a certain percentage of time, I'm going to have the result. It's then said when 51% of our thoughts are positive, the entire 51% dissolves everything else. And so I do believe it's very computerized like that. There's something to it. It's like, if I spend 51% of my time focusing and loving and living and serving and caring, then 51%, that really moves us to this new level of receiving in that same way.
And you know, you get what you focus on. That's certainly true, or at least I believe it's true. How do you, you know, sometimes people feel like, you know, I think people get the word selfish and self-care mixed up sometimes. And I don't know if you find that with the clients you work on, but or work with, but it's like, well, I don't know if I should do that. It's for myself. I should be serving. And yes, but I think you can only serve as, I mean, you have to keep that cup full, right?
Right. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, Bonnie. I find that that's one of the most difficult things that especially women have to deal with. There's so much internal programming against taking care of ourselves and that it is selfish. You know, I remember when I left my marriage and it was very abusive, emotionally abusive, and I had 3 children, and to leave that marriage was making a choice for myself when in the society that I was in, it was horrible. I was really shunned and, but I knew that I couldn't survive physically, emotionally. I couldn't grow and thrive. And it turned out to be one of the best decisions that I ever made. But you know, that's one of them. Another thing was 4 years ago, I was serving in a spiritual community and I was at a point where I felt completely drained and I felt like I had nothing more to give. And, you know, people might call it a midlife crisis or something like that. And I got, you know, this really powerful guidance and inspiration that I was to leave that community. And I was to take a year sabbatical to travel. And, you know, this came to me not just in one little flash, but over and over. One of those things that will not let you go. Like, you know, this idea that comes in, grabs you by the neck and will not let you breathe until you give it some more breath, right? And it was such a difficult decision because it meant really letting people down that depended upon me and had, you know, probably had some unhealthy enmeshment issues with me. Like you're my source, right? But making that kind of choice was the perfect thing. And I did, I ended up following that guidance and leaving that community and, you know, making some smooth transitions for everybody and being responsible, but ended up selling my house and really most of my possessions in order to take off and follow that guidance for a year. And I traveled throughout the world by myself, and I went through so many experiences to deepen into a more powerful experience of who I am authentically at this next stage of my life. You know, so we do, we go through stages like that. And there's, I write about that in my book, The Second Envelope, about making those really hard choices that are for ourselves, you know. But when we make those hard choices for that authentic self, the authentic self, its purpose is always service. It isn't contribution. It is ultimately about giving back and making the world a better place and a bigger place, really. But it looks like selfishness, and the ego and the little self will try to stop us from taking that action because, oh, that's selfish. But the fact is, it's selfish not to. You know, the world has need of us, and every time that we take those risks and we follow those voices, I believe that what it's really doing is growing us, you know, growing us to be the kind of person that can make a contribution, growing us that can make a difference in other people's lives.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, there's a reason, and I know this is a silly example, but there's a reason that when you get on the airplane and you're about to take off, they say, you know, they're talking about the oxygen mask. They say, put your own mask on first before assisting others. And I think even though it's a silly example, it's an illustration and a reminder that you have to put yourself at the top of that list of your priorities, or you're not going to be good to anybody else.
Right. Absolutely. I think that is a great example. And I think about my mother, you know, my mother's 91 years old. And I think about my grandmother, and I think about myself and my daughter, and my granddaughter. And I think about how women and, you know, our genetics, they weren't, my mother was never ask, what do you want to do? What do you want to be when you grow up? You know, they didn't have an opportunity to make a choice for themselves. It was about how to take care of the family or this or that. And that was definitely passed down to me. I was not asked, what do I want to be? How do you want to serve? What do you want to get? It was like, grow up, be a secretary and have kids. So, you know, women in particular haven't been programmed in this way. And so we got a lot of programming to overcome, but women also have so much incredible strength and power and beauty and love to give to the world and to really make a shift. So as we conquer this one and realize that as I take care of my soul's urgings will always carry me in a safe place and allow me to give of my gifts in the way that's most authentic for me.
So where does someone start? Say someone comes to you and maybe they're not so good at self-care and they don't put them, you know, selves first, and they're living authentically, but they just, they feel more obligation and service to other people. And then they end up at the end of the day kind of passing out because they're so fatigued. Where does someone that's in a spot like that, where do they start to make that change, that transformation to being in their authentic self and being okay, you know, taking care of them?
Great question, Bonnie. I think it starts in the little things. It starts in the awareness of loving ourselves, loving what we feel, honoring what we feel, honoring the urge that's coming up, honoring and loving us ourselves, even when we're, you know, upset, crying, fearful, loving all aspects of ourselves. Now that's a broad answer. So it's like But I do think it's the little things that we do, you know, do we need a bath? Take it. You know, do we need to take time and put the kids away? Take it. What is it that we need? Start with the little things by honoring what we're feeling. Now, I have found that a lot of women don't even know what they feel.
Mm.
You know, don't even know what their needs really are. And so that happens to be revealed to us as we do it a little at a time. So I think that's kind of a broad answer, but like, how do I take care of myself? Maybe the person needs to do little things like, you know, take care, go to the gym and when they don't have time. Maybe they need to, you know, get in some kind of a group, get in with a community, get in with something that nurtures them. But our things that nurture us and honor us and help us honor ourselves will grow and we'll be able to carry us in other things as well.
Mm. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've asked somebody, what do you want? I mean, if you could have anything, if you could have your miracle life, what would that be? And without like walking them through a whole process to maybe get to an answer, most, especially women, I think, most don't know. They can't even answer that question.
I agree.
Because they've never thought about themselves.
Right.
You know, it's their kids, it's their spouse, it's the job that they have, it's the whatever. But it's never about them. There's never any energy left at the end of the day for them.
Right. I totally agree. I found that working with people as well, that that's a very difficult question to answer. And but we have to start answering it and give ourselves permission to what is it that I want? What is it that I want? What is it I want? And when we ask that deeper, it's like it goes beyond, you know, the endless need of the ego to just, oh, I want this car and I want this and I want this and I want this. It's this deeper question, what does my soul want? What do I really want? You know, maybe it really wants chocolate right now, and you can tell when that's really there.
Yeah.
It maybe, you know, it's like, oh, you know, it's like going out to dinner and go, body, what do you want? Body, what do you really want to eat? And, you know, knowing that it will guide you. It knows. Our body knows. And our body has the answers to all of our questions more than our head. Our head will lead us astray. Our head will, you know, work out of programming. But if we listen to our body, we listen to the feelings in our body, we listen to the urgings of, you know, I always say, does it feel heavy or does it feel light? You know, does your yes feel heavy or does your yes feel light? Because if it feels light, that's a yes to me. That's go for it. You know, if it feels really heavy, that's a no. So we can find out, you know, how we're guided by listening to our bodies more and more.
I think that's so true.
Yeah.
And I think you're absolutely right. We have all the answers inside of us, but most of the time life is so busy or, you know, we're distracted. We just don't listen
right
to the answers. We don't hear the answers. We don't see the signs.
Right. And I think one of the things that I think is important is that in just being specific to, you know, entrepreneurs or people that are, you know, have a goal or have something that they're working towards. One of the things that gets in the way of us moving forward is, you know, obviously fear, but where we don't know what's going to happen, you know, two corners around, you know, around the block. It's like we don't know what's going to happen in the future, so we get, you know, kind of we get crippled. We don't take action because we think that we have to know, but our body knows the next step. Our inner voice knows the next step. And so it's like the yes and the no. Our body will guide us one step at a time, but it cannot give us like this whole big program. You know, I love the Indiana Jones movie. I don't know if you remember it. And
oh, yeah. It's my favorite scene.
Right, like that scene, you know, it's like he's running across the bridge, but the bridge only appears right when it's needed, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's really how it is for us on this journey. The bridge appears when we need it. The body will give us the guidance when we need it. Now, I learned that so deeply on this traveling trip that I took because I didn't have a plan, and my instruction basically was like, do the next thing the next thing at the indicated time. And so it was like listening to my body. I would learn, okay, it's time to leave. Like I might have been, you know, in Dominican Republic for 2 months. And then after 2 months, I knew it was time to leave, but I didn't know where to go. And so I would listen, I'd research on the computer and went, oh, Guatemala, my body would go alive. Like, okay, Guatemala it is, you know? And then when I had a real go to go to Thailand, my mind says, that scared the crap out of me. I've never been to Southeast Asia or any place over there. But I felt like I should. And turns out I met somebody that had been there and they convinced me that it was just, you know, really great. And so one step at a time, I could move in front of, put my foot in front of the other foot. But I never would have had the whole plan in advance. And if I had depended upon having that, I never would have gone. And I found that that's definitely been the case with, I've started different communities and businesses and done different things. And I never would have done any of it had I had a demand to know the whole picture. No. And so, the other thing,
go ahead.
The other thing that I think was an important lesson that I learned on this traveling adventure was that the first 3 days in a new country, I was terrified. Like everything about it was a different language and everything was new. And my body responded in a way that was fear. My stomach and everything was afraid. But I discovered that after 3 days, this fear would go away because I had acclimated to the environment. And my body had acclimated, and then I became, you know, started to have a good time and got better ideas, and I wasn't so afraid. And one of the things I learned about that is that no matter what we're doing, when we're moving into a new environment or into a new experience, you know, whatever it is, our body just automatically moves into fear. And that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't generally mean that you're in danger, really. It just means that it's new. And to just be in consideration of that just because we're afraid doesn't mean that we shouldn't be doing it.
I'm so glad you went there into that story, because I was going to ask you let's talk about that. And that was a great example, because sometimes, I mean, fear, you can have fear. I always call it the faces of fear. It can be, you know, fear of success, fear of failure. It can cause you to procrastinate. It can cause you to become a perfectionism, but fear into the unknown, just anything new. I mean, there's so many things, and that doesn't mean that those things are going to, you know, end our life or whatever. So it's really not, you know, it used to be the saber-toothed tiger. Well,
right.
Nothing has really changed in our body. We think everything is a saber-toothed tiger.
That's right. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
So how do you help people through that? Because fear is huge, and it's a part of every growth, every entrepreneur experiences that many, many times. I know I have on my journey. How do you help people deal with that?
I think for anybody moving through fear, support is very important. If somebody's holding your hand or encouraging you or pushing you forward, any kind of a coach is that's, you know, a wonderful purpose. That's what I like to do. I find that the fear also, if I'm in one-on-one with somebody, that fear is an indicator too of something that's coming up to be seen, some belief system that is coming up and arising in order to be seen through. So I can work with them to, you know, see what it is and to reprogram and to start establishing a new experience. So specifically, for an example, if someone is moving into a new business and look, they just can't take any action because there's a lot of fear involved, in talking and having them, you know, move through a process, we can discover that fear is actually their voice inside them saying one of many things, but perhaps someone's going to not like me, right? Like I'm going to be seen for a fraud. People are not going to like me. I'm going to fail, or whatever that particular voice is for that person. So what's coming up is a voice that's really the voice that's not their higher self. It's not a voice that's true. When that can be seen, the energy is relief. The energy is dissipated, and in the place we can begin to affirm and to know and to process around really their authentic self, which is, it doesn't matter what anybody says, that I am free to live. I am worthy of living my highest and best life. And who I am is here to serve, whatever it is. So the fear will really pinpoint what is the internal voice that's being communicated and how to switch that and flip it so that that person can then begin to reestablish and reinforce and work on the supportive belief system that is going to create a foundation and a platform for moving into the next experience. Because we can't move into the next experience until we change our internal talk. We won't let it in. Unconsciously, we won't let it in. So those kind of things, by clearing away the blocks, establishing a new belief system, now we start to build a framework and a consciousness or a belief system that automatically starts to attract that new experience, because we do work by the law of attraction. We attract into our life that which we believe. So let's work on the beliefs, and then we can begin to have a new experience in our outer world. That was a big answer. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, there are lots of golden nuggets in there. But one of the things that I want to talk a little bit more is, you know, living in authenticity. You know, this is how it feels for me. Like, I know when I'm really being my authentic self and when I'm not. And if I'm not, it just doesn't feel right. You know, all the other negative stuff comes up, fear comes up, those kinds of things. But if I'm just, you know, what you see is what you get. This is me. Mm-hmm. Then I'm better. And I'm fine. I'm wondering if that's, you know, if people can get out of, if they're even able to be their authentic selves, if they're in fear.
Right. So you're asking, so if they're in their authentic self, will they be in fear?
Well, no. I'm asking if they're like wrapped up in the fear.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Are they able to be themselves?
Well, I think the fear is definitely blocks that authentic self from coming through. When we're in our authentic self, we're not in a fear state.
Right.
We're in a joyful state. We're in our happy state. We're in a state that's just fine, right? Yeah. And that's the clear indicator that we're in that authentic self. And being in fear, like I said, it's not a problem, but it is an indicator that something's out of, you know, some
out of whack. Yeah.
Whack, right? And so it's good. It's good information. But our authentic self is, you know, happy and free. And so, I mean, and part of that is, I think, is in really letting it be okay that we are imperfect. You know, that people, not everybody's gonna like us, you know, that we can mess up, because letting go of that perfectionism and letting go of the need to please other people and letting go of that voice, that the fear goes away as well. And then we can live more authentically and just be who we are. And it may be ugly for a while. And I use that word like messy. It may be messy for a while to, you know, it's like the person that tries something new and they just keep making mistakes and mistakes and mistakes. But the fact that they're trying something new is the best part, you know, even if there are a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. Oh gosh. We've talked about so many awesome, juicy things today. Thank you so much, Jeanette. I know that people are going to want more of you. So what's the best way to, you know, find out more about you, connect with you, maybe find out about the type of work you do and, you know, with individuals or whatever, what's the best way that you would recommend?
Yeah, I would love that. The best way is just my website, JeanetteFreeman.com. And then, of course, I'm on Facebook and Instagram and all that. But if they went to my website and got on my email list, that would be terrific. I've got CDs and downloads and books and information that can help people on this journey. And I'd love to be a support in any way. I have a great book, too. The Second Envelope is a wonderful book of self-discovery and that journey itself. And it's really just a journey of self-honoring and acceptance in this journey. And then my other book is Why Did This Happen to Me Again? And that's a real how-to book, but that's really helps to understand the subconscious mind and how it's guiding our life and how to switch that and change the underlying belief so that we begin to have a new experience in the outer world.
Yeah. Oh, I love the name of that book too. Yeah. This happened to me again.
Right? We said that.
Yeah, very cool. And I'll put the link to your website at janetfreeman.com on the show page so that anyone listening, if you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn Radio or iHeart or wherever you're listening, you should be able to get to that link and go right to Jeanette's site.
Yeah, that's perfect. And I'm on YouTube. I have, I don't know, at least 100 YouTube videos and talks and lots of things on YouTube as well.
Oh, awesome. It sounds like lots of great information out there for people to just kind of help them on their journey. And then if they want more, they can connect with you as well.
That's right. Yeah.
Perfect. I want to thank you again so much, Jeanette, for taking time out of your busy day. I know you're a busy person, and I truly do appreciate you sharing your wisdom and insights with all of us here at the Holistic Entrepreneur.
Well, thank you, Bonnie. It was my pleasure, and the time went so fast. I'd love to do it again sometime.
Well, we might have to do that because I could continue this conversation longer. So let's do it another time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Bonnie.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.